Amen. Praise God. Well, it's great to see everybody on a Sunday night. Hallelujah. We want to get into the Word of God tonight and see what some things from the Word, not anything necessarily new tonight, but things to encourage us to remind ourselves. We want to go to Matthew 28 to start. If you have your Bible, go to Matthew 28 on your device there. We will use a few different translations. They'll be up on the screen, but you might want to look along if you have your device that has the different ones available there. Praise the Lord. Matthew 28. Now, I've got the King James Bible here in front of me, but I may take some these and thous out, all right, as we go along. Amen. Let's read verses 18, 19, and 20, and then we'll go back and say some things concerning it. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end, unto the end of the world. Amen." Well, that last part just really good there. He's with us always. Always. Amen. He never leave us nor forsake us. Glory to God. He's always with us. There's never a time that we're alone in life. You know, a lot of times, you know, hey, everybody could abandon you, but God won't. He's always there. Jesus said, "I'll always be with you till the end of the world." Amen. And, you know, I imagine that they tried to remember that when he ascended into heaven, he's gone. I bet they tried to remember that quite often. He's always, well, just as he was with them, he's with us. Glory to God. But what I want to look at there is in verse 18, Jesus spoke to them and said, "All power." Now, the King James uses the word power there. In the original language, it's actually the word for the word authority. Everybody say authority. "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, that's an interesting, here just recently in teaching along these lines and studying, that phrase "is given unto me in heaven and earth" kind of stood out to me. And so I want us to look at that a little bit tonight, because it's important that, you know, Pastor Hagin made a statement, I believe it was last week, talking about in Christ realities, that unless we know who we are in Christ, we will never be able to walk in our authority. You just won't. It's that in Him realities, redemptive realities, the believer's authority, and faith in God, those three things are inseparable. And really, and you can't walk in faith without love. Now, if you go back and you say, well, what's the main things that Rhema has taught over the years? Those three things go together. So, hand, I'm not going to try to name those, but it's like you put your hand in a glove and everything just fits. Those are part of that glove that we're over the years we've been taught by this ministry. Amen? But in Christ, so important. But here in this area of authority, he says, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth." Let's read this from the Passion Translation. Jesus came close to them and said, "All authority of the universe has been given to me." Now notice both said all. Didn't say it's just some, said all, right? He said, he goes on to say, "Now go in my authority." I like that. King James says, "Go," he says, "Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I'm with you every day, even to the completion of the age." Glory to God, I like that. And then verse 18 in the Amplified Classic says this: Jesus approached and, breaking the silence, said to them, "All authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth is given to me." Is given to me. Well, when we start looking at this authority, you know, we've been looking here the first couple weeks of school, but this is, I was listening here again. Pastor Craig kind of inspired me to go back and listen to those teachings, any recordings I could find on the believer's authority from back, you know, in the days and so I've been listening to those and reminding, you know, there in Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says, we're to reign as kings in life. We are to reign. You who have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign as kings in life. Well, how does a king exercise authority? Through their words. In fact, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says a king's words are with power. Other translations do say have authority and power. You know, a king reigns. Now, I think what I want to talk about tonight in the realm of authority is using it for ourselves and in our own life. So much time we think about it, you know, and because we are around here, we're pretty ministry minded, you know. We want to help others. We want to get this message out. But you know, first of all, you have to be able to exercise authority in your own life. First and foremost, and greater than any other area, we have authority over the devil in our own life. Amen. And we need to be exercising that authority in every area of our life. Well, to have authority means that we have the legal right of heaven. If Jesus has it, we have the legal right of heaven to be able to speak and be obeyed. That's what a king does. Or to give commands. Who's obeying us? The devil. Right? And all of his works. Anything of the devil. You know, what's of him? Well, you know, sickness and disease is of the devil. You know, we have authority over the sickness and disease in our own life. Amen. We have authority over poverty and lack in our own life. Amen. But like Pastor said this morning, you know, I thought that was a side journey and everybody got real quiet, but it was a really good side journey, is you can't keep spending money and get out of debt. All right. So take authority over thyself. Well, the devil, he's just stealing all my money. No, you're spending it all. Right? I'd have to raise both hands and both feet, anything else I could raise. I've been there. Amen. All right. Let's look here in Hebrews then. Where was this given to him? What authority was given to him? Well, first we're going to look at this, that Jesus received authority by inheritance. He inherited this authority from Almighty God, from God the Father. He acquired this by inheritance. Now, here's the great thing about this. We are joint heirs with Christ. Amen. When we'll see this, he's given us the right. He said, you go in my authority, all authority has been given to him. Now he told us to go in that authority. So we have a right to use that authority, and we know this. How do we do it? We do it in his name, right? But let's start in verse 1, verses 1 through 4. Here, I'll read it from the King James Bible first. God, who at sundry times in divers manners, that doesn't mean a whole lot to this. We'll get to that, what that means. Spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Now stop there for a minute. You remember Ephesians chapter 1, in that prayer of the Apostle Paul, he says that God has raised him up and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The right hand to the king. Whoever's at the right hand of the king is in the place of authority. You know, Joseph rose to the right hand of Pharaoh. And the only one that didn't bow their knee to Joseph was Pharaoh himself. That's the only one who Joseph didn't have authority over was Pharaoh. You see? Same with this. We don't have authority over God the Father, but through Jesus Christ, we have authority over everything else. Jesus is at the right hand. He said, when he had sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, verse 4 now, being made so much better than the angels, notice this, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. A more excellent name. See, God gave Jesus as his inheritance. He gave the name of Jesus to be the name that's above all names. We'll look at Philippians later, but he's that name. There's no other name that's greater than the name of Jesus. In fact, at that name, everything has to bow. It has to. Do you know the devil's afraid of a believer who knows how to speak that name in faith? Amen. Now, you know, I'm not really fond. I'm not a person that, you know, says, let's go out and wrangle snakes or anything like that. But you know, those that do, that work with snakes, you know what they tell you? That snakes really don't attack unless they feel cornered. They're more afraid of you than you are of them. I haven't gotten that farther yet to prove that. I don't need to prove that. I will take someone's word for it. All I know is when we were growing up on the farm, if we found a snake, we found us a machete or some type of a garden hoe or something, and we were chopping snake, right? Any of you ever baled hay and baled square bales, put those up, sometimes that hay baler catch one of those snakes in there, and you'd have half a snake in this bale and half a snake sticking out of that bale, still wiggling around, doesn't know it's dead yet. That's like the devil. The devil doesn't know he's done yet. He's still wiggling around. We have to use our authority on him. Amen. Listen to this in the Passion version here. Throughout our history, verse 1, God has spoken to our ancestors by his prophets in many different ways. The revelation he gave them was only a fragment at a time, building one truth upon another. But to us, living in these last days, God now speaks to us openly in the language of a son, the appointed heir of everything. For through him, God created the panorama of all things and all time. The sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature, his mirror image. He holds the universe together and expands it by the mighty power of his spoken word. He accomplished for us the complete cleansing of sins and then took his seat on the highest throne at the right hand of the majestic one. He is infinitely greater than the angels, for he inherited a rank and a name far greater than theirs. Woo, glory to God. All power has been given to me in heaven. See, God gave Jesus the heavenly authority. When Adam sinned, God didn't lose his authority. Adam gave up the authority that God had given him over everything on this earth. But God, because Jesus ministered in the authority of heaven, he said, the Father has sent me. That's talking about authority. Whenever someone is sent, like here at Rhema Bible Church, if we show up, if you're at the hospital and we show up, know that we've been sent by Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, and we have authority to act on their behalf. Right? We've been sent. If I send you to do something for me, legally, if you might have to give someone a power of attorney. You might have to sign something. I know when we moved here in February of 2000, we had a house there in Kentucky that we had, and it took a while for it to sell. And so we had a guy in the church who was a lawyer. We signed over power of attorney to him. So when the closing happened, we didn't have to go back there. He signed on our behalf. He had the authority from us to do that. Right? We've been given the authority from God to act on his behalf in the name of Jesus. Really, on Jesus' behalf, because he's the head of the church, right? Look over at Philippians chapter 2. This is another scripture that talks about this inheritance. Jesus inherited this authority, and it's invested in his name. Many have said that the name of Jesus is the key that unlocks that authority. We do it in that name. Amen? We do it in that name. Now here in Philippians chapter 2, let me say something interesting about authority. You remember in Matthew 8 when that centurion, said, you don't have to come, Jesus. Just speak the word only. My servant will be healed. And then he said something to Jesus. He said, for I am a man under authority. Let me say this to you. You're not going to operate in authority unless you're under authority. I have to be under authority of the word of God. I'm just not going to live any way I want to and then operate and have authority over the devil. Right? You understand? If I go back to here, I don't plan on doing anything like that. But if I mess things up here, they're not going to give me the authority to go represent them. You understand that? So you have to be under authority to operate in authority. To operate under the authority of Rhema Bible Church, when we go to make a hospital visit or we do something like that or we make a phone call, something like that, we have to be under authority to operate in that authority. Does that make sense to you? Because now maybe not so much today, but I came out of the charismatic, we had some wild things back in those days. I mean wild things. I'm on authority. I don't have to submit to any man. I'm under the authority of Jesus alone. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Have you ever thought about that? You can almost say anything about anybody as long as you say bless their heart. Afterwards. No, we have to be under authority to operate in authority. Now, Jesus here, we're not going to read it, but you know, Jesus humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. He laid aside his divine glory to come to be a man like you and I to walk this earth. And he humbled himself, became obedient even to death. Then in verse 9 of Philippians 2, wherefore God also has highly exalted him, glory to God, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, all of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Notice here, who gave him that name? God. So we see when Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me, we see, first of all, he got it by inheritance. He got it from the Father. It wasn't Jesus' idea to say, hey, my name's the greatest. No, God the Father, who made all things by Jesus, has says that name. Amen? And I found something out. You can say that name in any language of the world, and the devil knows who's talking. Amen? I mean, sometimes you're there and in the same meeting, same place, you know, in some parts of different, you know, places. You know, we think sometimes we're so educated here in the United States, you know. We don't really speak English, we speak American. And then that depends on what part of the country you're from and how you speak, right? But you go to some places and they got little kids going to school, they speak three languages. This embarrasses me to no end. I have to apologize to them. I'm sorry, I don't speak good English, I speak American, so hang in here. But you'll say Jesus, and then you get Yesu, and then you get Yeso, and you're writing the same, you know, three different names. It all carries the same power. Glory to God. That name, because it's that name. That name. Hallelujah. All right. Look over at Colossians chapter 2. Now, how else did Jesus give? How else? He said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. How did he get the earthly authority? Well, that authority he took by conquest. He won it in battle. He won it as victor, as he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Colossians 2, we'll start with the King James, reading verse 8 through 15. Then we'll look at some others with more narrow of a look. But here, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You know, one of these areas here is, I don't know, you know, the type of whatever your background is at orientation this year. I was asking, now, how many people here are international students? You grew up, you know, in an international, on a foreign field. You grew up in a foreign land, and they all held their hand up. And one young girl said, does the streets count as I'm being from a foreign land? I mean, your background might be streets. You might have been raised in church, whatever. But you know, it seemed like the church I was raised in, there was not much said about the devil. And there was a very passive attitude taken to, in other words, don't scare the devil. If there is one, why would you want to scare him? Right? You know, be very careful. Well, that was traditions. You know, traditions will rob you of victory. Traditions keep us back from what God has. He says, for in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom, you see all the in hims and the in whoms there? Boy, get to know what all those mean. In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. See, not a physical one, but the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who's raised him from the dead. Now look at this. And you, everybody say me. See, he's talking about you and I here. Being dead in our sin, in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together, made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. Listen to the Amplified Classic, starting in verse 13. And you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful carnal nature, God brought to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions. Whoo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't forget to thank God for that. Don't forget to, I mean, I'm not just going about, not go on about how horrible a sinner you are. Go on about how great a forgiveness we have. Amen. He said, having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note, the bond with its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us, this note with its regulations, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of our way by nailing it to his cross. Well, sometimes we think everybody's heard this, but in that day, of course, in that day, if you went to the court and you got convicted of a crime, they would write your crime out on a piece of paper on something, and they would also write the sentence, however how long you had to stay there, and they would nail it to your prison cell door. All right? And of course, you weren't necessarily in there by yourself. There might have been several of them there. Well, all of us had things that we had transgressed against God's law. All of us were guilty. All of us deserved a devil's hell. But thank God Jesus scooped up every one of them. And when they nailed him to the cross, every one of our handwritten bill, every one of our decree of guilt was nailed there with him. Hallelujah. And he said, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them and triumphing over them in him and in it, the cross. Hallelujah. One translation said he stripped the devil of all the weaponry he trusted in. Stripped him of it. Hallelujah. Jesus got out of that authority by conquest. Listen to the passion here, verse 14 and 15. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Woo, glory to God. You know, some of you need to give away your fishing license to the sea of forgetfulness. Bible says he cast our sea in the bottom of the sea. Just quit fishing. Quit throwing that net out there. Let him go. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. The devil's right to make me sick has been canceled. The devil's right to keep me poor has been canceled. The devil's right to oppress me has been canceled. It's all been canceled. And the devil's right to keep me out of fellowship and relationship with God has been canceled, nailed to the cross, done away with. Glory to God. He canceled it all. Amen. Hallelujah. And once he took care of us, then he turned on the devil. Once he paid the price for that, he turned on the devil, and he says, Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them round as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his. Hallelujah. Used to be in those days, if a city nation or city state would come against and would attack another and they'd win the victory, they'd always wanted to keep the king and their family alive if they could, because what they were going to do is they were going to bring all the defeated folks, all the army of that had lost, all the people that lived there had lost, going to bring them out in the streets of that capital city, and then they're going to take that king and his family and they're going to strip them naked and march them through the streets to show they are thoroughly defeated. We have won. And now they and you are defeated. And that's what Jesus did to Satan in the very streets of hell, if they have streets. He marched them openly, stripped of everything, stripped of every weapon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every encounter we have with anything of the devil, we've already won. We've already won. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed. The devil's trying to make me sick. I'm not the poor trying to increase. I'm the increase. The devil's trying to steal from me. Now, I realize we do go along and we learn as we go, but realize every time we are in the place of victory. I'm not the sinner trying to be righteous. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. The devil's trying to tempt me into sin, and all I've got to do is stand up and say, no, you don't. No, you don't. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things are of God, and that's not of God, and it's not part of me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We have to resist those things. We have to put those things down. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Amen. You might tell I can get a little excited talking about some of these things. Hallelujah. In the last, let's see, I've kind of learned this around you. I'm in my 15th year of being the dean and 15th year of being on pastoral staff. I was always a teacher. But pastors taught me how to, a little bit through example. And just sometimes I can teach and preach. Sometimes I'm a preacher. I'm not a preacher, but I can preach a little bit. I've tried to preach crusades in East Africa, and I'm horrible at it. I can yell and scream a lot, but nothing happens. But when I teach, it's amazing. When I teach and give an altar call, people come and get saved, but I'm preaching, Just look at me. Revelation 1. Let's start in verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 4. This is a big, big section of scripture I want to read here. But I couldn't find a place to start. I'm sorry. So, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion. See, that's that authority, that dominion, forever and ever, amen. How many of you know he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords? And he says the prince of the kings of the earth. Well, that's us. Amen. Really, kings on earth aren't even kings compared to him. But we're kings and priests unto our God. He says, behold, he comes with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, he said, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and in patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had on his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of death, hell, and we like to add the grave. I have the keys. If you have the keys, you got authority. Right? Now, this is my work keys. No, that's the wrong keys. Where's my work keys? Right here. I can't have them all in one, you know. I don't want to have a big old chain. I don't want to do that. But here's my work keys here. Now, these keys, you know, are given to you because they give you authority to unlock whatever doors that they work in. Now, I don't have the key. I call it the God key. the pastor, Miss, you know, Craig and Denise, they have a key. They have one key to rule them. No, one key. There it is, right there. Now that key will open every door that any of these keys will, plus. And that's what you find out. You know, we have the authority of Jesus. Jesus has the one key, and he delegates to us in ministry, especially in life. We're all called, and whatever area he's called you to, he's given you the authority or the key to operate in that area. Right? But a key represents, and Jesus said, I have the keys of hell and death. Now we know the last enemy to be put underfoot is death for this physical body. But death, separation from God, that's already been taken care of. In fact, the moment we got born again, we got in union with God. That life of God's in us right now. Amen? The Bible says it does not appear yet what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. We have this life of God in us now. And we have been given authority over the devil in our own life. No place in the New Testament are you going to find where Jesus ever said, come ask me to exercise authority over the devil for you. He said, you resist the devil. He said, you give no place to the devil. He said, you cast out devils. Amen. Right? That was to us. How? In the authority that he's given us. So we have authority over the devil in our own life because Jesus was given that authority by inheritance from God. And see, we don't have time to get into being joint heirs with him, but by inheritance from God in that name and by conquest over the devil, God gave him that name. And he is the Alpha and the Omega. That means he gets the first word and he gets the last word. And it ain't over until Jesus has spoken. That's why we're smart if we say the same thing that Jesus said. I love Psalm 103, down there about verse 20. It says about his ministering spirits, his angels that hearken unto the voice of his word, of his command. Those angels, they're like when the king speaks, they go into action. When we speak the word of God, the angels of God go into action on our behalf and work for us. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, we're not going to escape if we neglect such a heavenly gift that we've been given. Hallelujah. We have authority. You have authority over the devil. But it doesn't do any good if you don't use it. Unused authority is forfeited authority. Now, I can't use authority for you. Now, you can come. Now, when two of us agree together, we can join together. We can join our authority together. When a Christian comes, you know, and comes to get hands laid on them or something like that, you're submitting yourself to someone, to letting them exercise, you're asking them to exercise authority on your behalf or with you. That's a different thing. But I just can't go and use my authority and just control your life. God didn't give us that authority for that. But we do have authority over the devil. Now, I've noticed here in the last, I've been on this quest here in the last few years, and one of the things, I don't know why I never saw it before, but before any type of, you know, ministry overseas or ministry every once in a while in different churches and having more of, you know, when you go, they want to have like healing services and that. I've just started before I even go, but even on the way, I'm just thinking, I take authority over every sickness, over every disease. In fact, Tuesday morning here in Exalted, Miss Hagen was taking authority over, I take authority over sickness and disease. I take authority over oppression. Amen. And in doing that, we're seeing a lot more instantaneous manifestations than we've ever seen before. If you get it instant, that's great. If you get it as you go, as long as you get it. Right? I'm not going to fuss about that. But seeing, we've even had people, they're showing up. When they show up, they just get to the meeting. They realize they didn't even think about it. But on the way, they got healed. Because we're taking authority over those things. We have authority behind the spirit realm in those areas. But number one, let's use it on our own behalf first. Let's use it for ourselves. Let's learn it that way. Glory to God. And exercise the authority and live in the victory God has for us. Let's all stand up together. Amen. Father, we just thank you and we praise you tonight. Thank you for your holy word. Father, we glorify you. We thank you. that as we look to your word and we learn of you and we learn of the authority that we have in the name of Jesus, Father, we just ask that you teach us and guide us, lead us into all the truth. Mighty Holy Ghost, help us out. Lead us as we're led by your Spirit. Lead us into the victory and the truth of the authority that we have in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise and glory tonight in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here tonight, you need prayer for anything. We got our ladies over here on my right, your left, and men on my left and your right. Come on down, men to the men, ladies to the ladies. They'll pray with you according to the word of God, because that's where the answer is. That's where the victory comes from, all right? Don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power. You young folks, don't forget young adults, and then also Synergy. And then also, if you would like to, every morning at 7:30, from 7:30 to 8:15 over in SDC 1, we have prayer, praying for revival, praying for Rhema every morning. If you want to come be a part of that, you can come over there for that. Amen. God bless you. See you Wednesday night. Amen.